The following program contains adult language and mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Kizzoo in the morning.
Alternative 94.5, The Buzz.
Z107, Houston's only classic rock and roll station.
Mixing up a thunderstorm.
Rocket 107.
In the
mix. 96.5.
Rock 101. KLOL.
Houston Rocks 104.1.
It's what's happening in today's music.
95.7. Kick out.
97.9 a box.
Welcome to One Song Each, where each of us will pick a song. Doesn't matter what song it is, whatever we want to have, and we're going to tell you either a story about the song or tell you a story from our lives that somehow relate to the song. I'm the Aubrey Frank, and with me are
Billy Machine and
Senor Fix It.
Okay, and I'm unfortunately going first
because he had the rock slash scissor technique.
I just have no rhythm. I was joking about us doing rock paper scissors over who's going to go first, and I don't have the rhythm to actually do it correctly. They think I'm cheating. I was not cheating. I just suck.
I don't know.
So the song I've picked is by The Faint. It's called Desperate Guys. It's from their 2004 album, Wet From Birth. I was exposed to The Faint while I was working at the sex shop. One of my coworkers had a lot of eclectic music and we bought it up. But another thing that he had was a friend who was just gorgeous. For me, just like perfect. Latina, glasses, thick glasses, just like cute little nerd girl and everything. And she'd come around and hang out with him on occasion. And I remember one time in particular, she brought a friend with her who kind of looked like Patricia Clarkson, but Latina. If I could walk away without one of these, I'd be happy. I'd be set. So she'd come up to the shop every now and again. I remember one time I overheard her talking to the friend about how she'd gone out with a date with a guy, and the guy hadn't kissed her the date, and you know, that was a deal breaker. It wasn't going to be anything else. So she'd come up to the shop sometimes where we'd hang out, like we'd go out and do karaoke and things like that. And I remember one time she came to the shop, and I was experimenting with the electrical conduit things where you connect the electrodes to yourself, and you could transmit electricity. And so I was demonstrating that by kissing their hands, got one of them into a straight jacket. We were just kind of playing around the shop and everything. You know,
please do not. Yes. Please don't just gloss over it. No, you know.
I just put it in a straight jacket because it puts the lotion on its skin.
It was in the safety of the sex shop. We were very clean.
Were they at the bottom of a dry well at the time?
No. It was all
he just pulled the word trained professional.
Yeah. Right. We're all under security cameras. We're out in the open.
Oh, wow. He had it recorded.
Nice.
For later use.
So anyhow, we're hanging out. We're bullshitting. We're doing stuff. One night, she invites me to go see a band. This is at a time period where I don't have my car working again. I put on a little weight, too, so I just wasn't feeling great about myself. And because we've gone out as friends, as a group in the past, I didn't really think anything of it. So she comes by my place to pick me up. We go back to her place. We're just kind of talking. And she's telling me about this on-again-off-again relationship she had with a dude. And at that point in time, it was off again. And she's basically, in the midst of telling me about this guy, she's also telling me about what she likes in guys. And she likes guys that are kind of funny and goofy and play around and make her laugh. And I'm like, you're not describing me at all. I'm not funny, goofy guy. I'm serious and I'm somber and
I'm broody.
Yeah, I'm not the guy who's going to have a good time with stuff. So as much as I thought this girl was just gorgeous.
The bee's knees.
Just absolutely gorgeous. She just wasn't describing me. And it's like, and all, there was also an age difference. I think she was like 20, 21. So there's a pretty good age gap there. But we go to the bar. We see the band. The band's all right. But again, they're not a band I'm super familiar with. So, you know, I'm enjoying it for what it is, but it's not like anybody I'm really super into or anything. And we go back and, you know, she drops me off and that's pretty much it. And on the one hand, it's like, you know, maybe I should have tried to make some sort of a move because definitely this is somebody I would have liked to have spent a little quality time with.
Told a knock-knock joke.
On the other hand, though, again, I was not who she was looking for. And not only that, but there's a very good possibility that if I had tried to make some sort of a move, I'd have been like, you sad, pathetic motherfucker. You never had a shot at this. I was just being nice and, you know, had his air.
You might not have been Mr. Right, but you could have been Mr. Right Now.
Yeah, or it could have been Mr. Go Away Right Now. I'm not putting any motivations onto her. All I know is that it does bum me out that I didn't even try, just because she was such a knockout as far as I'm concerned. But definitely, by not making a move, I confirmed that I was never going to do anything anyway. But also the another big factor was just the simple fact that this is somebody who was friends with people that I was friends with. So she wasn't even my friend so much as she was a friend of a friend.
She came and got you. She picked you up.
But it could have just
been a little interesting.
I don't know about that. But anyhow, the other thing is, like, let's say we did do something, then all throughout the sex shop, all the ways in which I did not satisfy her sexually would be all throughout the sex shop, and I didn't need that. You know, you don't want to work in a sex shop where everybody knows you're bad at the sex, or in some way just not what you're looking for, and obviously that would have probably got
you. Do realize friend. She was 20, right?
Yeah.
At that point, she'd be happy with fingers. I'm pretty sure.
Like, no,
she doesn't sound very experienced or worldly. If she's in her 30s, okay, yeah, she's gonna burn you. She's in her 20s. It's probably her third PP she's seen.
I don't think that she was inexperienced. I don't think so. No, the song is by the band The Faint, Desperate Guys. I really dug this album. The mutual friend had introduced me to the album. I love the song. It's a cool tune because I was listening to that song in that time period, and the song relates to the relationship that I felt toward this girl. As much as I might like to do something, I figured Desperate Guys never had a chance with you. I tend to think about that song a lot, and I would think about the song in the context of the girl. And also, eventually I quit that job and I ended up working a bunch of industrial jobs. And while I was doing these industrial jobs, one in particular that comes to mind where I was helping with chemicals, where we were making like plastic pellets. And so you'd have to pour powder in the machine, you'd pour plastic pellets, and that would turn into a liquid plastic that would be transported in drums and shit. Yeah, that was tedious work. It would be physically exerting at times, but you'd also have some downtimes where things would be kind of boring, where you'd just be cleaning and stuff. And in this time period, I was still in MySpace, and for some reason I got in my head that I was going to try to do a little bit of songwriting. And I ended up writing part of a song that was sort of a lift rewrite of this song onto one of those bags of material that we'd be putting in the machine. I still have that piece of paper somewhere. And I'd even announced on the MySpace at the time that I was going to try to do some songwriting. And around the time I just stopped going to MySpace, which was good because the songwriting thing did not progress very well at all. I not only could I get back the girl, but I could even bag the song that was a ripoff of this song that was still related to the girl. There you go. So do you want to go ahead and cue up the song so you can actually hear
it? It just sounds like sad.
It's not sad. Recognizing
what's
the...
What's up?
Was it more than attraction and a physical lust? The loins by imagination at first, inconceivable touch that I was planning, wishing. How embarrassed I'd been if you knew what I was thinking. I grew up on Clint Eastwood movies. My stepfather was a big Clint Eastwood fan. And so I ended up watching a lot of like the Dirty Harry movies and stuff like that. Definitely I'm not a Clint Eastwood fan anymore, but I did enjoy the Dirty Harry movies at the time. And in the very first Dirty Harry movie, I think it was the first one. He basically says, a man's got to know his limitations.
Eastwood is back in full force as Dirty Harry in Magnum Force.
Man's got to know his limitations.
So it's not that the song is sad so much. It's just a recognition that as much as I might have wanted to try to do something with this girl, the odds were very good that it wouldn't have happened anyway. And I'm probably better off at least having the delusion that there was a chance as opposed to being completely shot down and knowing for full fact you had no shot whatsoever. And so this song kind of reminds me of that as well. It's not sad. It's just there's a mix of sadness and longing, yeah, but also just this recognition is like, yeah, boy, that would have been a total flame out and you'd have gone bust anyway. And like, within a year or so of that, she hooked up with the on-again, off-again boyfriend again, and it was on-again to the point where she got knocked up. So that's probably the way things were supposed to work out. I didn't get to enjoy certain things I would have liked to enjoy at the same time. I think they played out the way they would have played out regardless, and so it's okay. I forgot one more thing, too, that was interesting. There was an adult photography model. I think she was from one of those Eastern Bloc countries. I was trying to reference it on my phone without getting into trouble. I think she went by Lipa, and was on the MedArt site. And I think she was also on one of those sites. There was like Aria 18 or some stuff like that.
The model was Lisa A., also known as Camilla 18 and Lita A.
But she was an olive-skinned girl, very pretty. She kind of looked like the girl that I'm talking about. And what was funny is while we were at her apartment, we were talking about that on-again, off-again boyfriend. And she had mentioned that she had seen him looking at porn of that specific model who resembled her. And I just remember thinking to myself, oh yes, I'm aware of her.
So it's like makes two of us.
That makes two of us, yeah. So it's a little bit meta, you know. So you said you recognize the song?
Yeah. You put together a mix CD for me and just tracking on.
Oh, cool, okay.
What other songs were on that album? Evil by Interpol's on.
Nice, yeah. If that hasn't already come up, it will be coming up on a future episode.
Anyway, that's
it. It's probably a mix of stuff I got from that mutual friend, because he was exposing me to a lot of new music. Yeah,
and you gave me that CD probably around the same time.
The time frame, yeah, around the turn of the century, roughly.
Contemporaneous.
The last time I actually had some familiarity with contemporary music, yeah.
It was on a colored CDR.
Yes.
I think
yes.
It was purple. That was all the rage.
I love
like discs you could get colored.
Yeah.
Discs,
yeah.
So, yeah.
That's what all the hip kids were doing.
You know what? I think I've got it right over here. Hold on one second.
You don't recognize it though, dude. What, how did you think? Not your taste, probably?
Nope.
No. Did you like the lyrics at least?
Nope. It's very 90s.
Well, actually, the band. Okay. Hold on a second. I lost it when I was looking at all that porn stuff.
Add it to the rest of your porn stuff? The rest of your bookmark?
I don't do porn on my phone. I'm too paranoid about some shit getting on my phone. So The Faint is an American indie rock band formed in Omaha, Nebraska. The band consists of Todd Fink, Graham Olisney, DePose, and Clark Beachel. And Connor Oberst was very briefly in the band around 1995, apparently. The band had actually formed in 95, and then, of course, the time I was listening to them would have been 2004, because the only album I ever listened to by this band was Wet From Birth. And I really, really liked the album, and yet, I don't know if I listened to some stuff and just wasn't into it. You know how sometimes a band just has that one album you really like,
yes.
And then the rest of it's not so much. So I don't know if I just abandoned them or if I just didn't like the rest of their stuff, but I did dig it. But it was 04, so it wasn't the 90s. Okay. But the band did form in the 90s.
Can't find it. It's in my old CD booklet that I would carry in my car and listen on my CD player. I'm not sure.
What... Another one of those blasts from the past. Yellow?
It was a body glove case.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Given.
2000s, early 2000s in the shit out of this pod.
Is that a segue?
Well, see, now I'm torn. Now that I've heard your story, I'm now wanting to go to one that's contemporaneous to that and is also sex shop related. But, like, the song I have on my list to go with that one, it's a great song. It's a song I listened to around that time. It's got really nothing to do with the story.
Well, you can tell me the song at least, and I can always plug in 30 seconds of it, then you can move on to the next one. What's the song? I just want to know.
It's Deadweight by Beck.
Oh, great song.
Song.
Love that. That is a song that, you know how you'll have some songs that just pop in your head for various reasons, and they just start playing in your mind without you having to listen to it? Deadweight is 100% one of those songs.
Yeah. And so that song, I happened to, I don't know if I live wired it or...
I'm sure I got mine cut from
post,
you.
That's
yeah.
Post-Napster, so it's got to be LimeWire or something. Mm.
Salt in the sea. Is it true what they say? You can't behave. You gamble your soul away. Measuring your dreams. Oh, this life seems like the gristle of lonely.
It bothers me how young he obviously was in that video.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, what happens in the movie is either Cameron Diaz's husband or her dad supposed to pay a ransom, or they enlist Ewan McGregor's character to kidnap her, and there are complications, and then she ends up working with him to try to get the money for her own kidnapping, and they fall in love, and I think it's some gangsters. It's a shit movie, and it's one of those premises that would not survive in the Me Too era, that she's falling in love with her kidnapper, and she's like, oh, Jesus Christ. It's like that fucking Benicio del Toro, Alicia Silverstone movie, Spare Baggage or Extra Baggage or something, was based on the same premise.
Women, I feel like that's actually a pretty common premise from late 90s.
Yeah, and it's really icky, and I don't think they ever had a hit with that premise, but there were multiple movies with it, and it does not play anymore at all. So, but it was also a shitty movie from jump. It was definitely seen as a misfire for Danny Boyle. I think it was his first movie trying to appeal to American audiences with an American actor, and obviously that shit didn't work out. So.
But I don't know what that song has. I don't know why I have that track listed next to the story. Maybe it doesn't matter. Who gives a shit? It's a really good song. Man, yeah. You want to hear my sex shop story?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay. So here's the deal with Diablo Frank's sex shop. I guess there's some law in this area that...
I think I know what law you're speaking of, and I don't think that's... based on what I see in sex shops today, I don't think that's in effect anymore.
Anymore, right? You had to basically attach your sex shop to a legitimate business.
Okay.
Was that not the law?
It might be the law in that particular area. Okay. Because I know that there were always sex shops in Houston that were not attached to legitimate businesses. So that might have been a caveat in that one particular area.
So here's the deal with Diablo Frank. He did indeed work at a sex shop. But before he worked at the sex shop, he worked for the video store that was attached to the sex shop. It was completely legitimate. Sold, you know.
Well, I don't know how legit it was. It was pathetic.
I mean, it was shitty. It was a shitty video store. Yeah. It obviously only existed there to attach a sex shop that was far more lucrative to.
Well, I think that was more so whenever you passed your credit card to the machine, the video store name came out. And
that's totally possible.
Very
possible
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
are you aware from your own statements?
Yes.
I always pay cash. So
this was the deal. Frank got unlimited video rentals from this place, basically, right? Or you can check out a few at a time.
I definitely bent the rules toward the end, especially. I decided I was going to rent a whole bunch of stuff.
Fucking rebel, you. So,
well, see, I had multiple, I could tape to tape, so I broke some copyright laws. But.
Oh, my God. So anyway,
some moral laws, some copyright laws, you know.
So, anyway, Frank would rent these videos, and then, even though I didn't want to go to a sex shop, you all right? There was no part of me that wanted to go to a sex shop.
Obviously, there was one part of me that.
But, no.
There was one part begged for you to go to that sex
no
shop.
No part of me needed a fucking straight jacket and electrode machine, okay?
not then, anyway.
Not ever, all right? Not my thing, okay? Nor did I want to see any of his clientele getting fucking roped up and tortured while they're browsing the latest fucking torture device that came out.
Dude, you're lost.
I didn't need this. So he's like, all right, let's go return the videos. I'm like, that's fine, because we go into the video portion and return the videos, right? No big deal. Until he says, oh, I got to pick up my paycheck. Well, he's paid out of the sex shop side is where all the offices are. So I'm like, all right, man, let's go get your paycheck. So we walk this back before a direct deposit, or at least before your poor ass had direct deposit. So we go return the movies, and then we got to saunter through the fucking beads or whatever the fuck it was.
No, there were no beads.
Oh my God, there was you crossed some sketchy threshold to get into this. Maybe it was just an aura you had to break through.
Is sex, the aura of sex.
It was the pungent odor
of sex.
Of
incense and gloobs and glides and plastics and
not the greatest part of town either. So anyway.
Well, so basically you'd have the tile floor of the video store.
Watch that.
You'd go along, there's a wall, and then there was an opening in the wall where you would go from one store to the other store if you were going that route. You're going via the video store. And then that area is carpeted, and oftentimes...
like a vagina.
The window section would be covered in stripper clothing or things like along that nature. So you definitely were aware that you were no longer in the video store anymore.
Yeah, you were passing...
So I don't think
a fucking poster for American Pie 3, and then next thing you know, there's stripper mannequins on the wall.
Actually, the one that always stuck
outfits.
No pun intended. The one that always stuck with me was the Mean Girls poster we had up there for the longest time, because I noticed that... Who's the blonde in that? She went on to bigger, better things. What's her name? The blonde.
Yeah, I know. We know
each other. Who's in Chloe.
Yeah.
So anyway, I noticed that she had great legs, and so I'd often be looking at her legs in that poster and comparing her disparagingly to the other girls. I mean, she ended up having arguably the best career of the bunch, so...
Yeah. So we head over to... We cross
sauntered over.
We cross the threshold into Never Never Land, and So he goes, I gotta go in the back to get the paycheck. And I'm just like standing around. And, you know, there's all sorts of doodads and gadgets and whatnot all around me. And I'm waiting and I'm waiting.
You've got to mention too, the further back you
go,
the more provocative the store became.
That's true. The further down into Dante's Inferno you travel. Much like a Halloween shop, probably. You get all the Frankensteins in front, and the further back you go, you get to those.
Severed limbs.
Right. I'm standing there, I'm waiting, and somebody, and it goes ding ding, and somebody comes in the sex store side. I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting, and then you come out, and you're at, like, I don't know, you have to go up to the restaurant, you have to like sign out your check or sign that you picked it up or whatever. And I'm standing there waiting, and I hear somebody set some things down next to me, and I turn to the side of me, and I totally recognize this gentleman. And he looks at me, and he does like a double take, and he totally recognizes me. And I worked at a local community college. And I knew this young man who was, was in the military or something. I don't remember. He was going there on his GI Bill. And the dude has got a stack of porno, 12 inches high if it was three.
A dildo high. It's a dildo high.
A Holmes high.
Well, hold on.
A John Holmes high.
And then a top, because he was placing his things there to check out.
No judgment here.
He puts out, no judging to shit. He unloads this goddamn fucking hentai, like squid looking. It's got knobs. Knobs. It's got knobs for days, you all. Knobs for days. Pretty sure it had a battery hatch. All sorts of stuff. It might have been carbureted. I don't really know. But he just, this thing thuds down. Kadoosh. Thuds on top. And that was kind of what got my attention. I look at him and he's like, hey. And I'm like, hey. And he's like looking at me and he's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, and then he starts talking about, you know, this is for, I guess his alibi. I don't know what the hell. Maybe it was true. I don't know. He was working for some old guy. The old guy just got a divorce, has performance issues, and has a new girlfriend, and he wanted me to come out here and pick up some things for her. So he had a foot tall stack of porno, and just, I don't even know what this device would be called.
Paraphernalia.
Absolutely. Some sort of alien paraphernalia.
Yeah, you might have been around, like, so it's a basic bitch rabbit for me.
Oh,
like,
oh that's totally what's dude.
Yeah.
You would have been like, that's not the one you
There's
want.
There's nothing.
That's the one you want. We got this one back here. It's got lithium ion. State of the art. Anyway, so he asked me, what am I doing here? And without thinking, ladies and gentlemen, I just told the truth, which was, I'm here to return some videos. Now hear me out. If I was 20 feet to the right of me, returning videos means something totally different than where I had currently been standing. And although I had broken the creepy threshold into this other side of the store, it hadn't really occurred to me I really need to have some sort of alibi if a random person I knew showed up in this, like, I was like, man, I can just walk over here and stand awkwardly for 10 minutes while this motherfucker gets his paycheck. Instead, I never thought, what if someone sees me? And that's exactly, and it's just this random dude. And then, of course, since I said, oh, you know, I'm just here returning videos, he goes, oh, yeah, dude. So, you know, sometimes I come in here and get some videos myself, which is not what I meant. And I didn't know whether or not, and then I was like, oh, shit. Like, I immediately was like, oh, shit. And then I had to be like, no.
You didn't have to.
You
didn't have to do this to
the man. I didn't have to.
He was just beginning to relate to you.
I know. And but then I was afraid of how far does this lie go?
Right.
So I had to just put the brakes there. And I was like, oh, no, you know, my buddy works at the video store. And I pointed.
I opened the gesture.
Now, the video store. And they shared the same, whatever. He's picking up his paycheck. We were returning videos over there. I think you were there.
I love how you're fucking like leading into like, it. Over there.
By the Mean Girls poster. Not whatever the porno knockoff of Mean Girls, which would probably be appropriately named Mean Girls.
Unfortunately, I've not read it that way. I'm not aware of that being out there. I would have liked to see that.
It's probably too on the nose, so it doesn't even. Then the rest of it was just totally awkward.
So wait, you don't have a song though?
Oh, yeah, I guess I have to relate this to a song.
You want to go back to Deadweight?
No, it's Deadweight.
Deadweight's from the, because, I mean, that was a bit of a Deadweight that he laid on that counter there, I'm sure.
No, that's not what I was, now you're ruining the song forever.
But yeah, that was in the A Life Less Ordinary soundtrack, and not a great movie, probably one of the lesser Danny Boyle movies, but a really awesome song. Love
Fantastic
that one.
Fantastic song. It was a Dust Brothers song, which is why it's so good.
Oh yeah.
He had the Dust Brothers and I think Mellow Gold and Odelay, and that song, I guess, was written right between Odelay and Mutations? What was his next album after Odelay? That's not coming to me.
No, anyway. I think it's Midnight Vultures, wasn't it?
Was it?
I think so, because I think
it might have been.
Because when did Mellow Gold, Odelay, and then Midnight Vultures? and then the other one you just mentioned, Mutations?
Possibly.
Because Mutations was our jumping off point, right? That's when we're like, eh, that's what you're doing. That came back for Sea Change.
It says Beck recorded Deadweight with the Dust Brothers between Odelay and Mutations. It was Mutations, released on the soundtrack to A Life Less Ordinary at the end of 97.
You're right, it's Odelay, then Mutations, then Midnight Vultures.
Okay.
So Odelay was 96 and Mutations was 98. Midnight Vultures was 99.
Anyway, this is a great song. A great fucking song. And I got this song off of LimeWire or some shit like that. And this was that, it's this just really weirdly melancholy, which a lot of Beck stuff is kind of like that. But it has this great throughout it, but it's such a weird mellow song.
Yeah, it's like this bossa nova thing going on in the background,
It's so great. And I just going through, this was a really shitty time in my life. Not because I was friends with these assholes, but
probably didn't help.
It probably didn't help. Well, I mean, misery loves company. I think we all were going through some shit.
No, I think at that time I was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, no, my Mr. Fix Mr. Fix I'm doing all right. But yeah, I don't know, just walking around the streets of Houston and wherever we were going. Yeah, but you know, just traveling around those parts of town, I can just, and driving, all the routes I had to drive to go to work and to school and over and over and over again. That's one of the songs that as soon as I hear that song, it takes me right back to that part of my life. And that was one of the constants, was hearing Diablo Frank stories at the sex shop, and they're bizarre fucking, holy shit, you're like, because you're actual salespeople on commission, and there was like a bonus structure, and I'm like, this dude's selling fucking janky dildos, and he's talking about, how many dildos did you push this month? And it, just this weird, and I worked at these super weird, bizarre jobs where I'm basically in charge of like homeless people, really, really weird shit, and that's one of the funny moments. Every now and then I think of that fucking story, and I to this day, like, I was like, I had to tell the guy, no, I didn't mean to get videos from there, but it's very unlike me to not have an alibi. I usually will have some sort of, and that time I just, no way I was going to run into somebody I knew at this fucking sex shop. And in 10 minutes, I walked from the video store into the sex shop, and my dumbass had to tell the truth, which was, I'm returning videos. Stupid shit.
But it is funny, because after I closed the comic shop, I had some crossover of customers. Some of the folks that used to frequent the comic shop also turned up at the sex shop. And the funniest one is one of the most, you know, white bread, clean cut dudes who'd gotten married to him. I don't think he had any kids of his own. He got married, and the wife had kids, and so he's like a sort of a new father and all this kind of shit. So I never expected he was going to turn up at my sex shop buying swinger magazines with the wife. So it's like, well, that's a happy family right there. Good going there. Not definitely, like, some of the people that I totally knew would have gone to the sex shop did turn up at the sex shop.
Sure.
But that was definitely one of the ones where it was like a left field. Oh, and my stepsister turned up at the sex shop a few times too. That was awkward. A little awkward. We never had like a very familial relationship, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But it's, you know, when you're hanging out talking to your stepsister as she's buying marmalades, is definitely more open than most people have in their various relationships. Although, really, oddly enough, even though there's two different bloodlines, not that dissimilar from my normal family dynamics. We've always been boundary crossers in that respect. We just don't get hung up on that stuff like normal human beings. And also, this tune reminds me a little of my mother, and anytime somebody reminds me
also
of my mother
from that same era,
you know, anytime I know that there's somebody who's trying to make me carry them, I'm like, you're a dead weight, right straight on your way.
Damn, did I just take your one song each? Did you just turn this into your song too?
No,
that's fine. I like the song.
I think you need a little something to help pry you away from the sex shop associations at this point. I didn't want to ruin the song for you.
Anyway, the moral story is, always have an alibi. Even if it's for like five minutes out. You're going to run in and grab something real quick, that's fine. If it's going to be super embarrassing, always have an alibi. You meet somebody anywhere, fucking world is a small place, and that's advice for you. This is for the kids listening and for the old folks. This is my word of advice. I'm trying to be your sage for this evening.
Secrets. Everything you need to spice up your love life is at Secrets. Secrets has the largest selection of bedroom toys in the Bay Area. It's a great place for couples to explore. Featuring sensual lotions, creams, and enhancers, wild gifts and games, large selection of sexy lingerie, playful fetish and bondage gear, bachelorette party supplies.
Mention Coffee TV and receive 10% off any purchase.
Michael, your daughter here, and I'm going to send her back in pieces unless...
Oh, I'm sorry, madam. No, I must have dialed the wrong number.
How much are you asking for?
$500,000.
$500,000 is not a lot of money for a woman like me.
I didn't mean it as a reflection of you as an individual.
20th Century Fox presents Ewan McGregor, Cameron Diaz.
You're the worst kidnapper I've ever met.
Well, I'm trying to do my best here under really difficult circumstances.
A Life Less Ordinary.
Me. The kidnapper.
Rated R.
Yeah, I can hold.
October 24th, only in theaters.
So I understand you're a big fan of alternative music, huh?
Completely.
Okay, here's an idea. Why don't you take your shirt off?
Excuse me?
You heard me. Take off your shirt. Show me your headlights. What are you about, a C-cup?
I thought this was a music station.
Oh, it is. Here's a song. So now will you take off your shirt?
Wait a minute. You're not Beck. Freak.
Z-Rock. Maximum rock and roll.
Lock it in and rip the knob off.
Your turn.
Okay, so my, I guess you could say, is related to Frank's Egg Shop as well. So.
We like a theme around here, apparently.
Well, no, I mean, this is one of my favorite stories, and Fryho is a witness to this story. So there's a song to it, too. I'll play it in a minute. So I have a cousin that wanted to go to Frank's Egg Shop and buy a certain type of porn to prank her husband. And she was going to buy it and then put it on, because apparently he was pressuring her to buy porn. She did not, she's not a porn person. So she thought she would get him by making him watch his porn, catch him off guard. She chickened out at the last minute because she was afraid that he would get really upset. And so came to me and Pussycat said, hey, I'm going to throw this away. Do you want it? And I looked and I'm like, well, it's not my thing, but I think I got an idea for it. And I said, so I'll take it. So I took it and I sat on it for like a day or so. And there was a friend of mine in Fry Holes that we hung out with. And he was an okay guy, kind of a dick, but it was...
This was the frequenter of massage parlors and...
No.
Was another one?
Okay. No, another one. So this guy... Yes, we had a lot of deviants in that circle. No, this guy, he was an okay guy.
Again, we're not casting aspersions. Yeah. If it's your bag, it's your bag. That's true. Okay.
We're friends with all these people.
We're, yes.
Come one, come all.
Well, so in the proper setting, come one, come all.
So I called this particular friend one day and I told him, hey, Pussycat found my porn stash. She's very angry. She's making me throw it away. Do you want it? I'm not going to keep it. And he's like, yeah, I'll take it. I said, okay. So one day I ran into him. I gave it to him. Didn't hear back from him. A few days go by, nothing. So actually about a week or two goes by.
So wait, did you give him some dummy porn to go with it?
No, I just gave
him. You just gave him the one disc? Yep.
No, they're boxes.
Right. So where did you get the porn from? Because your girlfriend didn't literally make you get rid of your porn.
No.
So were you using dummy
porn? No, but.
Where did you get the boxes from? She
got like two boxes. Didn't y'all have like sales like that where it was like two for
one? Oh, you're saying she didn't just buy like a video.
No, she got like two or three. Like I think it was like two of them.
Oh, so she got multiple.
Yeah, I gave those.
Oh, okay. Like we would do like three for 20.
Yeah,
sales,
y'all would do
like
weird
stuff
like that. So she had picked up two, I'm assuming, and gave them to me. I'm not going to watch them because that's not my thing. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's just not my thing. So I gave them to him thinking he would watch it and then, you know, whatever. 2-3 weeks go by, nothing. I'm at home with Pussy. Again, one night, it's nighttime, we're watching TV or something. My phone keeps going off. I finally answer it, and all I hear is screaming on the other end, and I can't really make out what it is. Was this certain somebody? And apparently, he had put this porn on and started watching it with his girlfriend. And as they start to watch it, his girlfriend assumed that that's what he was into and apparently caused an issue.
And again, this was in an earlier time, less forward thinking time.
I thought it was pretty funny.
So,
what fucking song could you have to go with this?
This was the song that his girlfriend at that time had introduced me and Pussycat to.
Continue with the brackish.
Did you put him on, dude?
Yeah, that's the end of my story.
Did you want to continue with the song? Or?
Nah, that's it, man.
So what were you saying about contemporaries of Kitty?
Let's see. So I searched up Kitty. He's brackish. And I got up. It was a Static X, System of a Down, Soulfly, Shine Down. like I could just see the cuffs of my pants getting larger as we talk about this shit. There's some pretty good music came out of them, but a lot of it is not so good.
There's no Nickelback.
How does this relate to the couple you were speaking of earlier?
Oh, she introduced us to Kitty.
Okay, so that's pretty tenuous.
Yeah, so...
I think because that's so tenuous, the fact that you have another Kitty story you need to tell.
Which one?
The
one with the band?
Yeah.
A local venue here...
They're closed now, right? Is this Cheryl's one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Cheryl's one. A buddy of mine, he had a band, and they were playing downstairs, and Kitty's band was playing upstairs. So my buddy was like, hey, can I get people to come to the show? So we go to the show, we go watch them. There's maybe like 45 people, a pretty good turnout for a local band. Upstairs is packed with Kitty fans, and you can hear them, and they're louder.
Now, where was this in Kitty's trajectory as a fan?
Oh, shit, I don't know.
You want to tell me what, people may not know who Kitty is. You might want to explain.
I was going to say, trajectory as a band, is it just a flat line? What the fuck are you talking about?
Kitty were big for a little bit.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. Kitty was big
Didn't they get radio play at least?
No way.
Not really?
Yeah, maybe.
No way.
Maybe
that's a Houston problem, though. Maybe it didn't get like...
It might be. There's not a lot of metal gets played on the radio.
Yeah.
Well, not just that, but also all female band that's playing metal would not have gone over well with the 101 crowd, I don't think.
True.
So who is Kitty?
They're kind of a punk metal, all-female band, young teenage...
All-female metal band, yeah.
Yeah.
And they had a high turnover rate, too, didn't they?
I don't know. I guess this is the only song I know of theirs that stands out to me.
No, I really like that one. The KMFDM did a remix of one that I thought was really great. One of my coworkers at the sex shop, taking it back around there, he used to play it over the internet. We had a big carousel of CDs, and we would put in whatever music we wanted to listen to, and then every now and again the owners would reassert themselves. They'd want us to start playing like Paulina Rubio and shit like that, and then we'd come back in and we'd put our shit on once they left, and he would play that KMFDM re-edit where they took, it's sort of like what DNA did with Tom's Diner by Suzanne Vega, where they took the ending of the song and they turned it into a chorus, because I don't think the song had a chorus originally. Yeah. And then they put it over a techno beat as opposed to the more driving metal that they have here. And it was also a cover, I think. Wasn't it like Zeppelin or somebody?
Oh, they did a Zeppelin cover. Yeah, yeah.
Who did they do cover?
I'm not sure, but I know Kitty did a Zeppelin cover.
Remember which song was that?
No,
I want to say it might have been that one. I'm not sure. Kitty to the degree that I was exposed to them. I'm not a big metal guy, but I enjoyed a number of their songs. And I remember Pussycat used to be into Kitty too, right?
Shit. Well, because I said that friend of ours got us into them. Well, let me finish the story. So anyway, we're at the venue. Kitty's playing upstairs. Shows are over. We're helping my buddy put his instruments and stuff away. Kitty's road crew is, I guess, coming down these stairs in the back, bringing down their equipment.
It's worth noting too, Fitzgerald's a really rickety ass place.
Oh yeah, it was basically a really big house.
It's basically, yeah, big house.
Yeah, they had two floors. They had upstairs and downstairs.
Like knocked out all the walls essentially, and so there it was, upstairs, downstairs, with no barrier.
No, and as they're coming down, one of the road crew knocked over a guitar from my buddy's band's group, and it was an expensive guitar, and they were being assholes about it. And next thing I know, I'm in the parking lot with my buddies, and we're about to fist fight, the
Kitty's road crew
of Kitty, and the Kitty girls are like in the bus staring at us. We're all in the parking lot, ready to fist fight, ready to beat up Kitty's road crew, and it was just a really weird kind of like, we're actually gonna do this, right? And then, people threatened the cops and this and that. Everybody kind of went their way. But it was just kind of funny. Just a funny situation.
Rush with fame.
Yeah.
I just
remember looking in the bus and there's these girls staring at us like, what's going on? I'm like, we're about to beat up these grown-ass men. Like, it just got ugly because, I mean, they were being assholes. I mean, because they were the paid band and my buddy's band wasn't. And so I guess they just kind of looked down on us as locals. I'm like, man, you and the H, son, show respect. So, yeah, that's my two Kitty stories. So
what ended up happened with the couple.
I guarantee you fucking Kitty doesn't have two Kitty stories. I can't believe you had two Kitty stories.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. All you know I know is that dude called. He was pissed because apparently she thought that was his splinter, and he couldn't explain to her, no, that's not what he was into, that someone had given him that porn. And I don't know. Like, he stopped speaking to us. We haven't spoken to him since.
Wow. That so there's a...
Well, yeah. Guess what, Mr. Fix-It? Look to your left, because look... Oh, I'm joking. We didn't bring him. That'd have been funny, though.
Nah, that's what
we don't have the resources. If you want to support us on Patreon, we can afford surprise guests. Please go find us on Patreon.
I guess, to put a positive spin on this, it shows where we've come in the last almost 20 years now. Okay. Sad as I say, about 15 years, where it used to be something like that would be so offensive that you'd have friendships ended over it or acquaintances. Yeah. And I think most people these days would just be like, you ass, you know, it's not, what, you know, I'm not into that,
well,
asshole.
To be fair, I wasn't really friends with this guy. Like,
yeah.
He was just in the circle that I hung around, and I mean...
You didn't know well enough to fuck with
him. No, yeah, I mean, I was kind of being an asshole. Like, I really didn't know really well enough to give him or prank him like that.
Well, and the simple fact is, you didn't really do anything. It's not like you...
No.
You gave him the videos, you didn't repackage it with other...
No, I didn't pretend,
like
I didn't...
You didn't say that it wasn't that type of...
No.
And you certainly didn't encourage him to watch with his girlfriend, so...
I did not.
Maybe vet the porn you're going to watch with your girlfriend. I'm just thinking, you know...
Well, before you put it on, I just always pictured, like, they're getting down to sexy time, and they, too, are getting ready to sexy time on the video.
And the video pauses and goes, look to your right behind that door, a special guest, a mystery guest appears.
So, that's my...
Yeah, but I think today that would have been a conversation rather than an accusation. You
no,
know?
No, the conversation would have been, why are you handing me physical videos? How do I even...
shit.
What is this disc thing? Where do I put those?
True.
This are you from the future or the distant past? I don't know what this is. Shoot me a link, dumbass.
I'm so kind of ready. Do you want to text me practically?
Well, yeah, sure. I want to touch it. I want to see it first when you're naked. Show me your body, baby.
The Hot Singles chart includes Warren Eighth Sage, Dr. Ange, Pat Shapirak, Between the Pages, Chris and Bad Books for Beginners, Delvin, Into the Weird, I Was Joe Crawford, Jean and Cap, Adam Defense Squad, Jack, Jeffrey Brown, Keith G. Baker, King Dinosaur, Christados, Longbox Crusade, Linnell Skaggs, Mike and Satan Alias to Me, Odell Abner Dracula, Randy Caldwell, Relatively Geeky, Ryan Daly, Secret Wars and Beyond Podcast, Wonder Woman Warrior for Peace Podcast, and Zach Sally. Odell Abner Dracula drew us an illustration of the story told by Matt from the previous episode, something along the lines of what made you think sandals would never be appropriate in a work environment. You can see that on the blog. Odell also wrote, what in God's holy kingdom is happening on the audio in the fixed segment? A pervert tornado blew through the podcast? Delvin wrote, let's chill. Oh, snap. Pretty sure I know it all the way through. Guy was on the pulse of R&B, no doubt. Went to Guy Essentials on Apple Music. Goodbye Love was so good. I was Joe Crawford wrote, that song was huge. I like Teddy's Jam, Groovy, so many great songs in such a short time. I already added this to my Amazon Music. Finally, Ryan Daly wrote, Mad Dog 2020 was my first so drunk that I puked experience. I was 14. Strawberry Banana and Hawaiian Blue.
One Song Each is a Rolled Spine podcast. This is a not-for-profit fan production. Any copyrighted materials used is believed covered under fair use, with no infringement intended. Please leave your comments and criticisms on our website. We especially encourage participation on this show. Feel free to call in and leave a request. Maybe you'll even get featured on the show. We thank you for your rapt attention.